All right, so last time when we all managed to get together and I wasn't eating bad cheese and it was terrible, you guys made it all the way to the Count's house, which didn't look so great, wasn't awesome. You guys checked out the river and the stables, and you found a little girl in the servants' quarters, all alone and scared. But she's feeling a lot better now that she's had some food and the father was nice enough to leave her a weapon. You went into the house and found a very drunk, very dying man right inside the door between the entrance and the main area. And then inside the main area, Felix decided to poke a body and you guys battled and took down 5 zombies.
This place is hot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for setting it on fire and walking away at the end.
So here's a question. It says I don't sleep, and a long rest is 4 hours. So how do I do a long rest?
You sit around and do nothing. You do light activities for up to 4 hours.
So read, I can just call that. I can just call that a sesh. I just smoke weed.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
As long as you do it for 4 hours.
Okay, I'm looking for a time to have a nice sesh.
Okay.
I don't think right now is a good time. We are in the middle of a disaster house.
Immediately. I think we should put on. I agree. We will wait.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, Caleb's character, Father Monahan, is also hearing a heartbeat. It's not affecting him mechanically anyway, but he can hear a heart beating. Other than that, you guys were faced with 3 options. Basically, there's a door on your left, a door in front of you, and a door to your right. All of them are closed. There's no noticeable sounds from any of them. Or you could sneak out for a rest somewhere.
You guys need a rest, or I still have cantrips, so I'll be all right. You guys need a rest?
I mean, I'm still pretty good all in all.
Andy?
I think we push forward and see if it gets dicey, maybe we'll pull back.
Let me take the lead then.
Okay. You pick the direction then too.
Let's go to the left one, I guess. I'd like to go listen at the door.
Okay, I want to cowardly hide behind Caleb.
All right, roll perception.
I'm kind of arguing for, like, range fire. If we open the door and there's something scary, I'm going to just kill it with fire or something, like that.
Yeah, if fire comes at us, I'm hiding behind you. Like Squid Game's up in here.
Seen that yet?
Oh, you should watch Squid Games. Anyways, so through the left door.
Father, you were just listening at it, right?
Yes.
I hope no one thinks that I've got like a daddy complex or something by just saying father.
Father.
I mean, maybe you do, but that's none of our business.
I definitely do not.
No, Father, no.
Okay, Father, give me a perception check at that door.
Thanks. Perception check at the door. 13 plus, what is my perception? 15.
Nice. You smell more rotting food, but there's no sound.
I let out a sigh, straighten up. There's something rotting in there. And I'm gonna bet that everybody's dead as well. I kind of turn the handle and try to open the door slowly.
It opens easily.
I would like to peek through the room. What do I see before I fling it open? Like,
you have found the kitchen. It's a decently sized kitchen for this place. And there's a bunch of food and stuff scattered all over the place. And it's rotting. There's flies and a couple rats here and there. From your perspective, you can't see the whole kitchen, but it's quiet.
Too quiet. Start moving in slowly and, like, surveying, making sure that I'm, like, any blind corners, I'm coming around wide so that I get the best vantage. And if anything moves, I'm more likely to hit it than ask questions right now.
Fair enough. The room is easy to see end to end. It's longer left to right than it is in front of you. And once you've stepped inside the doorway, you'll be able to see over the counter, and you will definitely see that there are three dead cooks and one party member, or, well, not your party member, but a party attendee that is on the floor.
I whisper, let's loot these bodies.
Hold on, the last time we poked a body, they woke up.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
All right, but first, do you have a spell ready? I turn to Andy, what's your character's name?
Felix.
Felix, right. Felix, do you have something prepared? I'll go poke it, but just be ready.
Hold on, I want to check something out here. So this create bonfire, I can put a bonfire on the ground, a 5-foot cube. So should I put that near the bodies? Oh, but then we get hit if we go in there.
Yeah.
That does not sound like the one I want to ready. Okay, we're ready. Caleb, go onward.
1 second.
Wait. Andy's not ready. I just passed him the blunt.
Okay. Is this a dark room?
There is moonlight coming through the window, but the candles have burned out.
Let's light the candles, never mind.
How about I cast dancing lights and just kind of illuminate the room a little bit?
Nice.
Woof woof.
Thank you. That definitely helps. Now that I can see properly in the room. I'm a human.
The light glints off something shiny. Clasped in one of the cook's hands.
I'm gonna move up to the first one so that if I take my cane, I can, like, reach forward, and I just want to roll the body over.
Okay. The bodies twitch, but they do not get up.
I then go around and I check every last one of them slowly.
They all have the same big circular bite mark pattern on them. And between the center counter and the side counter, it looks like something really big went through there. The cupboard doors are kind of crushed inwards on both sides.
Goody. I sigh and I look over at John. What's your character's name again?
My character's name's Peter.
Peter. Look over at Peter. Might as well loot them if you want. It's not like they're gonna need it. Is there a knife block in here?
Yes, there is.
I would kind of like to just go take a peek at it. I want to see if there's, like, a really nice, long, flexible filleting knife. Because, I mean, this place is fucking evil, so it's not stealing from anybody. Nice.
You find the knife.
I am thoroughly impressed at testing its flexibility as I, like, steal it in its sheath. Mine now. That on my belt.
It's got a rather ornate handle. You know, if you decided to sell it, you could probably fetch a pretty good price.
Yeah. I need a new filleting knife.
Peter's gonna loot all the bodies? Peter? Did we lose you, John? We lost John. Oh no, the monster got him.
Not again.
Again. It was the high monster. John! I'll just keep saying his name.
Hello, hello, oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, what'd you say? I lost you there for a second.
That's okay. We were discussing how the monster got you.
The monster got me?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh. Oh, fuck, okay.
I was just confirming that you wanted to loot the bodies.
Yeah, heck yeah, I want to go to that party member you mentioned. I don't want to fuck with the cook, so I want to go to that party member.
Sure. To the party member, and he surprisingly has nothing in his pockets. He does have a nice wedding ring, though. You could always take that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take that shit, put it on my... I'm going to floss that on my pinky.
I'd like you all to roll a perception check.
We're going to die. Oh, that'll be 10. I'm having too much fun looking at cooking utensils.
Nat 20, guys. Nat 20.
13.
There we go. So Felix and Father are looking around for immediate danger. But Peter, with his ability to sense where there could be useful information to him, he looks back at the cook that has something in her hand. And you really want to take it.
Damn, I wasn't even going to do that. Perfect, I love it. I'm going to do that.
And it is a locket. Do you want to open
it? Yes, I do.
It's got a picture of Jenny, the little girl that you found in the servants' quarters inside. And you realize that you have found Jenny's mother.
Oh, snap.
Definitely dead, but also not zombified, so that's a plus.
So I'll hold on to that and break the news to that daughter a little bit later. Is there any other bodies to loot?
The other cooks don't have anything on them either.
Okay. Is that a dead-end room then?
Pretty much.
What do you guys say, back to the middle room?
I think our best option is to head right across and go to the door that would have been on our right.
Yubbers! I'm gonna cowardly hide behind, Father.
Gonna slowly saunter behind both of them.
Alrighty, so we are going to go towards that door, and I will also give that one a listen, because I don't trust anything in this place.
Fair enough. Roll perception.
7.
You think it's perfectly safe behind that door?
Of course I do. I open the door.
And you have located the house's library.
Oh, damn. Can I roll perception for anything that's interesting?
Sure.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right, I got my Friday socks right here.
I got it. I rolled a 2. I'm looking for my
modifier.
To a 4. That's a 4.
You're pretty sure that the room is just full of kindling. There is still a couple candles lit here, though they're burning really, really low. The shelves are dusty, but they are full of books. Nothing seems to have been moved lately. There is a big grandfather clock in there, as well as two armchairs, and the clock is just ticking on.
I want to light a joint on the candle that's barely burning and then investigate the clock.
Fair enough.
Why is the clock still ticking? Someone's been winding it.
Damn, I just thought it looked cool.
Does it need winding if it's one of those big grandfather clocks with the swinging pendulum?
I mean, I guess not. Also, I don't know. I'm not a clockmaker. I'm a fisherman who turned into an orphanage owner.
Peter definitely hears something inside the clock cabinet.
Can I open up that clock cabinet?
It seems to be locked, but when you locate the lock, it's pretty rusty and small. A good swing should totally smash it. If you want to roll a strength check?
No, but I will.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Just gonna yank on. That's a 7.
So the lock rattles, but it stays in place.
I rolled a 9.
I get angry at the lock not being able to be pulled open, and I smash it with my cane. That'll be at least a 13 to hit.
Oh, yeah. That lock breaks, and the door comes swinging open, and about 2 dozen rats come flying out.
But I keep swinging.
You do manage to smash a few of them. The rest of them just, like, literally scatter into the bookcases and disappear.
And I jumped on Caleb's back because I don't fuck with those rats. That's sick.
Fair enough.
Or wait, maybe not. Does an undead person have anything rats-wise?
I don't know.
Undead and rats kind of...
I'll throw them away.
I can't. I hope I could. Maybe I could be like a girl from Suicide Squad.
Alrighty, so...
Who's in front of that clock cabinet?
That'd be me, first of all.
Roll perception. Alright, you see something wedged in the very back. Seems to be shiny.
I'm gonna light a torch and take a look inside because I don't trust.
I still have my dancing lights up.
Oh, good. Can you stick one of those things in here? There's something shiny in the back. I want to make sure it's not a bear trap.
So I move one of the orbs over towards where he is.
Is it a bear trap?
It is not a bear trap. It is a dagger.
Ooh. I would like to take a look at... Is there anything stopping me from picking it up that I can see?
Not at all.
Okay, well, I pick it up.
It is a very sharp, very pointy dagger. And it has a bone handle.
Ooh.
You can feel that there's magic in it.
I turn to Peter and looks like the Baron was trying to hide some sort of magical trinket.
Do you know any? Do you hold it by the handle?
Yes.
Oh, and why you're wouldn't human, I? Right? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Two things happen at the exact same time. Felix and Peter see your eyes go completely white, and you realize that you now have dark vision when you hold that weapon.
Me or do you say Peter, or is that Caleb that gets?
Caleb gets the dark vision, but Peter and Felix would see his eyes go completely white.
Oh, we see it. His eyes go white. Oh, that's deadly. That's so cool.
I'm looking around going, those dancing lights are doing wonders. I can see everything now.
The dagger is also a plus one to attack and damage. So, that's fun. Yay!
I kind of pause and... This is a very, very nice dagger. Would any of you be able to make good use of it?
I would say about this time, the dancing light would probably stop working because they only last for about a minute. So if you can see, it's probably not my lights anymore.
And I don't even know what weapon my character would use. What do warlocks use? A staff, eh?
I mean, you can use whatever the hell you want. You've got simple weapons. You could use the dagger.
Yeah.
I don't know who would benefit from it the most.
I've got a great club. Like, I'm tickety-boo.
Well, I'll take it if Annie doesn't want it.
I've already got dark vision and a dagger, so I don't think I need another dagger.
Okay, I'll take that dagger then.
Awesome.
So what's it called?
It's called a ghost eye dagger. Which may or may not be made up, so it's a plus one dagger.
I like that name.
Does the room go dark on me as soon as I hand the dagger over?
Yeah, it would. And your eyes would return to normal.
I blink a couple times and go, the dagger lets you see in the dark. Interesting.
When I take it, I'm like, holy shit, they're deadly.
I'm just gonna light a torch, and that's how I'm gonna move around, because that's how I'm gonna see.
I'll keep the dagger in my hand, so I get dark vision.
Nice.
Alright, is there anything else in this library that we can detect as... Right. So we can see that's anything.
Everyone roll an investigation check.
I got 14.
Seven.
Ooh. Nope, there's nothing else.
Well, back to the main room.
I flick my roach on the ground and continue with behind Caleb.
Unnoticed by you, it bounces to a shelf nearby and it lights a cobweb on fire, which starts a little bit of smoke.
Nice. I don't see anything because I got a 7. So I'm on my way out of the room.
I am going to
the way out in the first place.
I should probably put that fire out before anything happens. So I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm gonna go piss on it. I'm gonna pee on it.
Fair enough. It goes out, no problem.
Okay, so back in the main room, I guess I'm gonna head towards the. I'm going to head towards the middle door and take a listen there before I charge in.
All right, roll perception.
This dice is going away. That'll be 9.
It's all quiet.
Just for the sake of interest, I'm going to check that door for traps.
Okay. Give it a roll.
Never mind, nat one.
It looks perfectly trap free.
Of course it does. I open the door.
And you see the master bedroom. It has, like, the crazy opulence that you didn't find in the kitchen or library. The carpet is so thick, there's paintings everywhere, there's antiques sitting on shelves. And it's a pretty massive bed. There is also a young man sitting at a desk, and he's got his hands over his ears, and he's rocking back and forth, completely oblivious to the fact that you three just walked into his room. And you also notice a 5-foot wide hole in the bedroom floor that is surrounded by some rocks and dust, miscellaneous debris.
I'm going to skirt the hole, walk over to the shelf, and just kind of pocket one of those antiques and casually ask the guy how he's doing.
Fair enough. You swiped something really shiny and fancy off of that mantle. And you'll check it out later and find out that it is a very, very expensive flask. When you approach the man, he jumps up and spins around, and I'm pretty sure Father Mahonahan would recognize him based on his resemblance to the previous count. You have found Count Leonard Moldavia, the person that threw the party. And when he looks at all three of you, he just looks mad. Like, his eyes are wide, they're bloodshot. He's got a little drool in the corner of his mouth, and he's just shaking.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Relax, Count Leonard. We're friends.
Friends? You think I'm mad?
Oh, now why would we be thinking that you're mad?
He, like, takes a step backwards and slaps his ears. And he says, no, a madman cannot plan.
Plan what?
What would a madman plan if he were to plan?
He starts laughing. Just laughing. A lot like the drunk dude in the beginning did. And he says, the walls. The walls. No one would plan the walls. He starts slapping his ears again, and then he looks towards the hole in the floor. I knew. I'm not mad. Mad men don't plan. I knew what I was doing. I was so careful that night. So careful. I didn't make a sound. And he smacks his ears again.
I'm going to lean back to Peter and ask if he has another joint, because this is about to get really interesting.
Yeah. Here you go, bro.
I'll take a puff when you get a sec, as I continue asking, and what would have happened if you did make a noise? Who would hear you?
Oh, but I know they watch me. They watch me. The worms. And they watch. And he's looking at the hole again. His eyes don't go away from it.
What's down there, son?
He's rocking on his feet again. He slaps his ears a couple times. But he doesn't look back at you. And he just starts murmuring. Deep, deep into the darkness, peering long, I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming, 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 and the heartbeat beating.
Can I just take a casual look, see if this guy has any marks on his body, like giant slug mark on his back, like previously seen?
Smart. He has no marks on him. I mean, he's probably got a few scratches here and there just from slapping himself, but no bite marks.
Gonna pass the joint to the father and be like, I think this guy's a little cracked his throat of a full combo here.
I completely agree, but there's one thing I need to know.
And he darts a look back at the father and interrupts. Do you hear it? You hear the heartbeat. Do you hear the heartbeat?
I do hear the heartbeat. What is it?
He seems to settle a little bit upon hearing that you do hear it and agree with him that it is real. Would you politely make a charisma check?
Well, that's not a good thing. That'll be a nat 20.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Which is good, because I have a plus zero.
Brilliant.
Like, oh, this could go terribly. I retired the dice that kept rolling sevens, so we should be okay for a little bit.
For a little while. Okay, the Count Leonard settles down. His hands fall to his sides, and he just stares at the father, and he's still bloodshot eyes. He's breathing heavily, but he's not shaking nearly as bad. And he says, "What? What is it you want to know?"
What is making that beating noise? What is it? And let's start there.
He taps the side of his head, like on his temple. And he looks at you. He always, always watched the walls. There was a glass eye, and it saw through the walls. The heartbeat came after that. I searched. I could not find the heartbeat. And then I wonder, was it my heart? Did it escape me somehow? And it's hiding. And he looks down at the hole again, just kind of lost in thought.
What happened here, lad? All this death here. What happened?
And he seems to kind of fold in on himself, and he sits down on the carpet, and he hangs his head in his hands. And he says, I did it. I did it. The eye was watching, and I knew it was there. And then I killed him. And then the heartbeat started, and it wouldn't stop, and I thought the party would make it go away. And then the worms came.
How long ago did he recently took that position from his father, didn't he?
Yeah, he's only been count for like 2 weeks.
Does anybody know where his dad is?
Hasn't been dead. Seen.
I look over at Felix and kind of lean in and go. I lean into Felix. So this guy whacked his own father and has been having a rough time ever since. But I don't believe he's entirely lying, because something made that hole.
Can I take a long look down that hole, see how far I can see down it?
Yeah. What's your dark vision range? Is it 60 feet?
Yep.
Okay, the hole in the floor is about 30 feet long, and it leads down into, it slopes gently, so it's not a direct drop, but it leads down into the basement cellar. You would notice that there's no light down there, and nothing seems to be moving, because when you go down the tunnel, you'd have to go around a corner to see the rest of the cellar.
I'm going to ask the count there, where's his guest?
They're all gone. The worms, they came up through the floor. They took them and they ate some, and they're gone.
Down the hole, I'm presuming.
Oh, the hole. I don't want to go in the cellar again. I was in the cellar before. I don't want to go back to the cellar. He'll see me, you know. He'll see me.
Who will see you?
My father. And he scoots backwards a little bit away from the hole.
I'm gonna lean into the father. I think his dad's body is downstairs and possibly our guests at this point.
So I just have one more question for you, Count. Is all of this your fault? Did you call those things here?
I did not mean to. No. I did not call anything. No. They came after the heartbeat.
And what is the heartbeat?
It just beats. Beats. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. On and on and on, and it gets louder and it gets louder.
How do we stop the heartbeat?
He doesn't know. But I'd be willing to think that Peter might have an idea, since he's a warlock.
Oh. Should I roll for it?
Yeah, roll an intelligence check.
That's a plus zero. Here we go. 15.
All right. His mention of the worms caught your attention, and you replay in your head the way the bite marks looked, and then the way this count is acting. And you believe that these worms he talks about might be real, and that they might be something you read about known as a conqueror worm, and they are drawn to people in madness. So at this point, you don't really think that the Count is hearing an actual heartbeat or that the heartbeat exists. It's just that he went batshit crazy after killing his father.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to share this information with the crew.
The father is having a... You can see the visual dilemma in his face.
I don't know if we should kill this guy.
He's not hostile to you in any way right now.
My idea was to force him down into that cellar with us.
I want to grab like the three of us, kind of like move us over to the side, do a little group huddle so he can't hear us, and kind of just weigh our options at this point.
I like your style. My suggestion is let's bring him with us to the cellar and make him go first in case there's danger.
I agree with that line of thinking.
I think that is fitting. To execute him for his madness would be wrong. To require him to repent for his transgressions is not.
That's not my idea, which was just bait, so...
Oh, you guys are awesome.
I look you dead in the eye and go, we are justifying your plan.
Let's get her done.
So righteous bait?
I'll leave the manhandling to you, Caleb. And I'll just have a little warlock cackle in the background. All evil and maniacal.
So I wander on over to the Count and I just go... Come, friend, we're going to go for a little walk. Just a wander through the gardens.
That was my laugh.
Nice.
And then I lead him straight down the hole.
He does step towards the father and then, ends up going down the hole.
So tell me a bit about your home, lad. What is down here that I might want to know about?
And he's starting to shake again, but not as bad as before. Oh, there's the wine. There's a lot of wine. And you can smell it already. So you figure there's probably some casks and bottles that have broken.
I'm going to light a joint and pass it to him because he looks all nervous and jittery.
Right. He takes it.
Gives I think a perhaps a good
puff and then passes it back.
I think it's
It's COVID, brother.
As you make your way down the tunnel, does anybody have any lights? It is dark.
I have dark vision.
Okay. Good.
I'll cast dancing lights for the next minute and just kind of like get a view of what's in front of us for a little bit.
All right. When you reach the bottom of the tunnel, it opens up to your right in a cellar area. It's not super large, but there are at least a dozen casks that may or may not be full. Some of them are leaking. There is wine on the floor. There's a couple bottles of wine here and there that have been broken. And across from where you are, there is another hole that leads out of the cellar.
Is there any bottles of wine that are not broken?
There definitely are, but to get to them, you would have to get across the center of the cellar, which is currently preoccupied with some mangled bodies of 12 partygoers and 2 giant red worms.
I want to loot those bodies.
Alive?
Oh, they are alive. I am going to put up a picture of how I envision them-ish. I left the credit on there just in case I decided to throw this up on Instagram later. So they would look like that. It's loading, so like that, but red.
It's not showing up on Discord, is it on?
It's on Discord. I can try putting it on the Facebook chat.
I don't see it on my end for some reason.
I am just bringing up the Facebook chat. Adding attachment, desktop, worm. Oh no, I don't want to create a room. I just want to enter and send. Okay, hopefully that won't take too long. Okay, it looks like it is sent in our Facebook Messenger chat.
Yummy!
So remember that the hole that you went down is 5 feet across. So these worms are 5 feet wide, thick.
Don't care. Rage.
Let's send that guy in there to go talk to the worms.
He has no desire to go in there.
I'm already on my desires. Plans. I'm already charging in, screaming. I'm angry.
Okay, well, let's tell that guy to wait for us then, at least make sure he doesn't run away on us.
Oh, he'll sit down at the bottom of the tunnel and wait.
That's ready. Okay, I play the distance game and let Caleb charge in and ready my catcher.
Roll for initiative.
God damn it. I got 6.
9.
Oh, that sucks, guys.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I have 7.
Well, Father, I'm going to let you get a surprise attack in because they were eating and busy and you just charged right in there.
Oh yeah, I've probably made a terrible mistake.
It's possible.
Cool. 17, that's 22.
Oh, that'll hit.
I do 11 bludgeoning damage.
Nice.
To its face. Those teeth look like the only bone parts that'll shatter. So let's knock them the fuck out. And now I get eaten.
I mean, it's entirely possible. You realize that the way those jaws open, it could definitely swallow you whole. And that is a realization you make as the worm that you just slammed turns its ugly face on you. And he is going to attempt to bite you. That is 22 to hit.
Oh, that will absolutely hit me.
And that is 7 points of piercing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still alive.
That's good. Felix, you're up.
How big are these things?
5 feet wide and like 20 feet long.
And how many are there?
2.
Damn.
And they're not happy that you interrupted their meal.
Okay, I want to try to position myself in a way that's going to get me basically the front of both these creatures within like a 15-foot cube of me.
Okay, yeah.
That's and nobody else?
Yeah, that would work. I'm picturing this all in my head, and yeah, there's definitely enough space that you could do that.
Okay, I'm going to slap my hands together and cast Thunderwave.
Nice.
But a con save.
Okay.
14.
Ten for the save.
Okay, both fail. So they're going to get pushed back 10 feet. I don't know. Are they medium or small or larger?
Large.
Oh, they're still going to take damage.
Yep.
Oh, they moved. Darn. No opportunity attack.
Fourteen points of thunder damage.
Jesus. That's for both of them?
Yep.
Well, you killed one worm already. Jeez, you guys. And the other one's pretty angry. And let me just check his reach. Oh yeah, he's gonna bite at the father. He can't get the other ones.
Well, bring it.
I assume he is not gonna hit you with a 9.
He tries to bite me and I stick my cane in his mouth. Bad worm.
Fair enough. It's your turn, father.
Oh, good. Well, in that case, I am going to bash him over the head with my cane while telling him that he is a disgusting monster. That will be a 16 to hit.
And that's going to hit. Damn it.
That will be 7 points of bludgeoning damage to the side of his head.
Cool. Okay, Peter, it is your turn.
Is that thing looking pretty rough or what?
Yeah, it's looking a little rough.
Okay, well, I'm gonna cast Eldritch Blast on it. So that's a 1d10.
You have roll to attack.
Oh, yeah, roll to attack. Okay, sorry, I always ask this dumb question. I got rolled a 15. What do I add to that? Do a plus what?
It doesn't matter.
In that case, it would be your proficiency plus your charisma.
Proficiency and charisma. Holy. So I would have a plus 6 then.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you hit it.
21. Okay.
Roll your damage, good sir.
I'm looking for my dice. Can't find my D10. We're good. We got it. And that's not good. 5. 5.
All right.
A force damage.
This worm is not looking so hot. But it's Felix's turn.
Okay, well, I only have one spell left, so I'm not going to use it yet. I'm just going to take a slash at it with my rapier.
Rapier.
Make it sound fancy. Make your attack.
Seventeen?
That hits.
2 points of slashing damage.
Oh, look at you go. You split it open. It's not quite dead, but it is getting really close. And that makes it its turn. And Felix, it's going to try and bite you. Does a 16 hit?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So he chomps down on you for 8 points of piercing damage.
Well, I drop like a stone.
Uh-oh. Father, your turn. Your kitty
this thing's gotta
just
go.
Fell down.
I'm aware my kitty friend just fell down. I don't want him to keep being chewed on, though, so I'm gonna, roar! That'll be a 21 to hit.
That hits. There is no possible way you could not kill this thing, so describe your kill.
As it is biting at Felix, I'd like to run up to it and jab my cane into the roof of its mouth, and then I would like to try and force my cane vertically down its throat until it chokes and dies.
And so it does. You now have two worms that are quickly decaying at your feet. 12 dead persons of various ethnicities, and a hole above you and a hole to the one side.
Can I make a request that we spend 1 hour in this room just because all my spell slots will reset after an hour and then we can loot these bodies?
I'm making a medicine check on Felix as soon as I'm sure that these things aren't going to keep killing us.
Okay, so let's loot the bodies then. So is that a negative on the 1 hour?
I think this is a terrible place to decide to take a nap. In a room full of dead people and where these worms are coming from. That'll be a 23 on the medicine check to stabilize Felix. Yeah, loot the bodies, look for the Baroness. If we can find her, let's recover her body. Otherwise, let's get the hell out of here and find somewhere safe to hole up for the night.
Okay.
Because I don't have any healing spells to bring him back.
Okay.
No, he's stable.
Yeah. And who's looting the bodies? John? Peter?
Sure.
Yeah, you do find the Baroness, and one of the party goers does handily have a little healing potion on his belt.
I pass it to Felix.
We force feed it to Felix.
I'm really glad you guys found that.
I mean, I've got 2 hit points, so I don't recommend we stick around.
Do you ever not have a healing potion, Caleb?
I don't think so.
I have 2 of them.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I do. I'm drinking one of those right now.
Good.
Thank you, John.
What kind of healing potion is it?
2d4 plus 2?
Yes, 2d4 plus 2.
Oh, great. I drank mine. I rolled a 1 and a 2. Well, at least that puts me up to 7.
And once you are all done with healing and consciousness, I would like you all to make a constitution check.
Oh, great.
Better. 16.
9.
Five.
All right, Peter's fine, but the father and Felix are hearing a heartbeat. And it's a little bit louder now than it was before for the father.
Kind of give my head a shake. This place is going to drive me mental.
If you look around, as I'm sure you would be doing anyway, you notice that the Count is still sitting at the bottom of the tunnel, but his eyes are fixed on one wall of the cellar, and he is rocking back and forth, and he has his hands over his ears again.
Why do I think that means something bad? What's going on that wall?
You want to go and look at it?
Very carefully, because I'm scared one of those worms is going to come crashing through it.
Roll investigation.
Well, that's going to be an 8.
Oh, you know what? But you got it. This was an easy one to get. You got it. You can see that the plaster on the wall is new and fresh. Something very recently was patched up.
I turn back to the Count. Don't suppose you know what's on the other side of this wall, do you, lad?
He's watching. Always watching.
So I'm just going to ask you a straight question, boy. Is your father alive or dead?
Roll intimidation.
That's the dice that rolls good. Fuck you, traitor. I rolled a 1.
He scoots backwards a foot and he crushes his hands against his head and he goes, I don't know. The heart just keeps beating and he sees through the walls.
I'm going to stand up, walk over to the Count, grab him by the collar and just give him one good slap and be like, dead, alive.
Roll intimidation.
Both.
Fifteen?
Oh, yeah. He stops and he looks up at you with these big, frightened eyes. And he says, I killed him, but I put him in the wall so no one would know. And then the heartbeat started, so I don't know. I thought I killed him, but I can still hear... A heart. It's here.
That's some Edgar Allan Poe shit.
I'm gonna go put my fist through the wall and tear it down.
Make a strength check.
How long has it been since the combat?
10, 15 minutes.
Okay, I'm not raging anymore. Uh, 21.
I would have given that to you for anything above a 9. The plaster is... I just wanted to make you roll because I love rolling. The plaster is thin and not expertly done, and as your fists smash through it, you realize there is indeed a body back there, wrapped up pretty carefully, but you know in your heart of hearts that this is the previous count.
I start peeling back the drywall to exhume the body. You need a proper burial would have probably solved most of your problems, you daft fool.
Loot the body.
Leonard's father is naked under his wrappings.
You show your father great disrespect.
Leonard actually stands up now and takes a step forward, and he says, "How to fix this?" Father?
Yes.
Because you're a father. I mean, you know that fire would purify the body as it burns.
Let's take him outside. We can say a few words and we can cremate the body.
I'm grabbing one of those bottles of wine I had my eyes on.
If you decide to pack it up, you find enough wine worth 250 gold pieces.
All right, we're getting shitty drunk tonight. It's nice. Been a day. So we're just going to write down 200 gold worth of wine. The other 50 is going in our stomachs.
Fair enough.
So what do we write down? Can we just split it up like that?
We have a shit ton of wine. Don't worry about exactly how much later. We have a shit ton, and we're going to get shitty drunk, and we're just drinking straight from... Or I'm drinking straight from the bottle at this point.
Okay, I wrote down shit ton.
Yep, shit ton works.
It's expensive, so either it's really alcoholic, or we have lots of it. Either way, job gets done. Because we pass different bottles back and forth, you know, oh, try this one, try this one. We're drinking all the rich people wine.
For sure. So you guys head back up the tunnel with the former count's body?
And the Baroness's body.
And the Baroness's body. Well done. And as you get up to the master bedroom, nothing has changed. You walk out into the main area, nothing has changed. And as you approach the door to the entrance, you hear a very familiar little voice. "It's okay. You'll be okay. I help you. And you get to the doorway and you see that Jenny is there, and she has her little hands pressing a cloth on the back of that first party goer that you found, who is somehow still alive.
"Oh, Jenny, darling, you shouldn't be in here. This is no place for a child. It's no place for anyone."
And she looks up. You were braver than me, and it was quiet for a while. I wanted to know." And Sir Wend is now, like, kind of propped up against the wall, and he pats her hand gently with his, and then they look around and they notice that you're carrying another body that is not smelling so good because it's been decaying inside a wall for 2 weeks. But hey, it's all a party. So
can I set the dead guy down and do a medicine check on the guy that's still alive?
Yeah, for sure.
At least that'll be an 11.
I mean, Jenny probably saved his life. Without her pressing the cloth to the open wounds on his back, he definitely would have bled out. He's a lot more sober now, despite only having been there left alone for, I don't know, an hour or two while you guys were exploring the rest of the house. But he would, he seems like he'll make it.
Alrighty, between the lot of us carrying several bodies and helping Broken McGee, let's get the hell out of here for now.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I'd like to... What time is it right now? Like, what's it like outside?
It is dark. You might say that the darkest hour is before dawn. That's the dark hour that it is.
I recommend that we instead take refuge in the servant quarters, hole ourselves up in there, and with some light we can find some wood to burn this body.
Sure.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, between the destroyed stables and stuff like that, it would not be hard to find enough wood to build a makeshift little pyre and load the former count's body on it.
Yeah, it's the middle of the night. There's some weird shit going on, and I at least want to be able to see when it goes on.
Well, I have a create bonfire cantrip. I can just do that and do it both at once, burn both at once.
Wait, who else are you burning?
Would that work?
I think we should return the count, the Baroness, to her husband.
Where's? That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
But him.
Create bonfire seems like an expedited way to do things.
Yeah, it allows us to do it right away, quick, and you can just hang on to that cantrip indefinitely. Well.
Yeah. So am I doing it?
As you are burning the body, I would like to, you know, say a few words, and may Melora guide your soul to whatever afterlife with whatever god you prayed to. I turn to his son. Was your father a religious man?
No. But...
Alrighty, well then...
Go ahead.
Well, that means I don't have to pray to a specific god for him. He'll go wherever the gods decide.
As the flames take over the body and completely engulf it, the count visibly relaxes and it becomes very quiet suddenly for Felix, the father, and Leonard. There is no more heartbeat. Good job.
I look at Felix.
Oh, that solves that problem.
I still think we should hold ourselves up in the servant quarters for the night. There's less doors for them to come at us from.
Sure. Jenny gleefully shows you around, and you all get beds, and you all get some rest.
And I will... I'll take first watch.
Okay.
And 1 second.
I'll do second.
Leonard volunteers for third. But whether or not you trust him, I mean.
I turn to Peter and go, when he's on, you mind just keeping half an eye on him during your sesh?
Yeah, I don't sleep anyways, so I can watch. So I'm gonna masturbate and smoke weed while you guys sleep.
Whatever.
Okay, first watch goes by completely uneventfully.
Well, I'll do all the watches. I don't sleep. They can sleep throughout the night.
Okay. Second watch goes just fine. Third watch, the count sits up with you, just looking around, and you can tell that he's doing better. He's got a little bit of color back in his face. He has run his fingers through his hair a few times trying to straighten it out, but mostly he just looks a little hunched over, very sad, very defeated. But nothing else happens. Dawn comes, and when you wake up feeling refreshed and lovely, you figure it's probably time to get out of there. Everyone has survived the night.
I look down at Jenny and go, Jenny, dear, I didn't want to have to tell you this last night, but we did find your mother.
She nods didn't. Solemnly.
I'd like you to come back with me. I've got a large house, and there's a lot of kids that live with me and my wife. It's, you know, it's nothing fancy, but you're more than welcome to stay with us.
And she leaps up off the floor and runs up and just wraps your leg in a big hug. Thank you. I didn't want to stay here.
I don't think anybody should stay here. I would never leave you here in a place like this.
I'm going to give her that locket.
She starts to cry a little bit, but not like big, ugly kid sobs, just little tears. And she holds it really close and then slips it into a pocket.
That means give her my handkerchief. Much.
She blows her nose really noisily and leaves a big glob of snot in your hanky.
I throw the hanky back there, so I don't want your dirty hanky.
Well, I'd get a new hanky, it's fine. Yeah, so we should go find our horses, or at least any horses we can get our hands on. Is there a carriage or something?
There is. The Baroness's carriage is still there. You could definitely hook up the horses. The horses survived. The ones that were still alive anyway. And they have all calmed down too. So you would be going back with your original three horses plus five others if you wanted to bring them.
I think that's a good idea.
Might as well. The Count can ride one. Sir Wend and Jenny will climb on the other one.
Yeah, he's in no condition to be riding anywhere.
Yeah.
We will, we'll hook up the carriage, and I will ride on one of the horses, and let's just get as far away from this evil place as we can, and we can tell the Baron that, the whole place needs to be burned to the ground, and it can just be his again, or whatever, they can sort out the politics.
Yeah.
We are returning the corpse of his wife. I'm sad.
As you leave the gates of the manor house, or manor land, you do notice that the sound of crickets have come back before you've even passed through the gates. And the air actually, though cool, you can feel the warmth from the sun. It's not as sticky and wet and gloomy as it was before. And you pass out of the gates with no problems. And the day's ride back to town is very uneventful. Everyone's pretty quiet as far as NPCs go. They are just along for the ride. So when you...
I make sure that they're fed and as medically tended to as I can give, but I'm not a doctor. I'm good at bandaging people. I've raised enough children, and they always seem to hurt themselves.
As children do. So you make it back to town, and the city guards open up the gates immediately for you. They recognize you and the horses. And you go, I imagine, straight to the Baron's house. And he is still sitting in his chair in the main room. And he is very, very tense. And his scribe comes running through the door and whispers in his ear. And he gets up and he moves very quickly to the front door so that he can greet you as you come into his yard. And as you're riding in, you see him looking at you. He's looking at every horse and all the faces that he sees. And you know that he knows that his wife is dead. Just this crestfallen look comes across his face.
When we ride up to them, I'd like to personally dismount and walk up to him and kind of hang my head a little bit and go, "The good news is that we were able to recover her body, sir, but she was killed by those beasts."
And the Baron claps a hand on your shoulder as if to steady himself and comfort you at the same time. And he says, "You've done me a great favor by bringing her body back. I will not ask what happened just yet." And he kind of glances over at the Count and the little girl and the other party goer, and he says, I believe we need a healer. I'll have my scribe go and fetch the healer. You all must rest."
Before he steps off, I kind of stop him and go, "The man on the right needs a doctor of the body. The man on the left needs a doctor of the mind."
He nods towards his scribe, and his scribe goes running down the path into the main part of town. And he helps everyone unload, and he has his wife's body brought to a small room off of his house, and has some of the locals start preparing her to be cremated.
I'd like to help.
For sure. He was about to ask you to say a few words as they were preparing. The healers show up and they don't stop to say, "Hi, how are you? My name is whatever." They get to work and they're checking everyone over, making sure that you're in pretty good shape. And they order the formerly drunk partygoer, Sir Wend, to rest. And the Baron graciously offers him a guest room to recover. And he offers Jenny a place as well in his house. But Jenny kind of looks out the window and she says, The father said that I could stay with him." And the Baron just nods and says that would probably be best. And I think that's where we're going to stop it for today. We've played for a while. You guys accomplished a lot. You are now safe back in town. The Baron is very thankful that you brought him his wife's body. He rewards each of you as he promised, and he sends a raven out to, what was it, his cousin that lives on, or that is on a ship, and requests his help in locating any survivors from a shipwreck or a possible shipwreck that may have happened. The Count is not entirely mad, but the Baron does place him in prison for the murder of his father and finds it very hard to let him live when he feels that the Count is responsible for the death of his wife, which, I mean, yeah, he kind of was.
The man was an orphan maker.
Yeah.
The Baron would hear no complaints from me if the man was ordered killed.
Yeah. But for now, he's in jail.
So am I going to find out about my wife next session? Is that what's happening?
Possibly. And Felix's gambling debts in town are paid.
And we all have a bunch of wine.
A lot of wine. Mm-hmm. Indeed. So yeah, we'll leave it there with the Count in jail and the Baroness being prepared for cremation. And then when we come back next week, we will see what happens next.
I'd like to have a chance to talk to the Baron and just put the worm in his ear. I know right now there's a lot on your mind, but I glance over at Count Leonard and go, that man is not fit to lead a bowl of soup into his belly, much less an entire county. And with no other heirs, I believe that we may need to find a more suitable count, and we may need to burn his house to the ground and start fresh.
And the Baron takes all your advice in seriously, agreeing that should the Count go to trial and be deemed not guilty, he would never be in charge of anything again. He would no longer be a Count. He would be just simply Leonard, and he would work in town under supervision for the rest of his days.
You are too kind.
And he's definitely considering letting you go back to the manor and just burn it down.
We can sort that out later, sir. You have much to tend to, and I have a young lady who needs to go and meet to see her new home and meet her new roommates.
And Jenny's been cleaned up. She's actually wearing a little dress that fits quite well, and her hair is clean and brushed and pulled back off her face, and she is very excited to go with you. There's a little bit of sadness in her eyes, but she is looking forward to what's next in her life. As a 6-year-old, she probably doesn't process the entire concept of death, but...
I take her by the hand and say, come, lass, let's go. You look quite lovely in that dress.
She does a little...
Let's go meet Mrs. Mahanahan. Let's go meet Mrs. Mahanahan. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to see you.
And off you go.
Looking at the others, if you'll need to look me up, you know where to find me. It's the big house.
Yep.
I'll be at the bar.
Of course.